Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to BIB Radio. We want to thank you all for joining us tonight. It is December 8th, 2016. We are in St. Louis, Missouri, and it is very, very cold. I think we're down to the 30s at this point. It does not feel like the 30s. It feels like the 20s or the 10s or the, I don't know, it feels very cold. So I don't know what type of temperature you are experiencing in your neck of the woods, but feel free to give us a call and let us know. This is BIB Radio. We are Blacks in Business, and we are on the Black Talk Radio Network. Let's see. Do I have my guest on the line? Oh, I just muted you. Let's see. Hold on just a second. Okay. Robert, do we have you on the line?
Shivering, yes.
Are you shivering? My goodness. Okay. Well, how are you doing tonight other than shivering?
I am so happy to be alive on this day in December of 2016. Just happy to be with you on BIB Radio, my main man, Scotty, back there behind the scenes, and just a good day to be around.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with you. Hey, Scotty, thank you for being here. I know he's back there somewhere.
Greetings, everyone. So, greetings, Robert and Cece.
Hi. So I am going to, I don't know, Robert, I don't know about you. I just feel kind of drained today. But I'm happy that we are here amongst friends so we can do what we do best, talk about entrepreneurship. My newest entrepreneurial stream has come about here, I'd say about a week ago. Scotty introduced me to a woman who needed representation for her product, so I got to say thank you, Scotty. I've actually been able to get her on a couple radio stations and phone calls for her product line. We will interview her also. I would say maybe next week. We'll see. But she has a product that I would say everyone needs if you have children. I'm not going to give away too much information about it. I'll let her talk about it later. What about you, Robert? What have you been into this week?
Well, I mean, more of the same old stuff. You know, just pushing the limits of what we do, staying disciplined to what we do, practicing entrepreneurship and the knowledge of it to the extreme. You know, never allowing the elements to get in the way, or anything for that matter, to get in the way. I heard the other day on a show that, and it really resonated with me, that the lady said that her father said that, in a nutshell, put your business first and yourself second. And that's been sticking with my head, in my head, so much, because I always said put me first and everything else behind that. But when I heard that one, I was like, man, put your business first and then yourself the second.
Mm.
And as I keep thinking about it, it's been sticking in my mind, like I say, but as I keep thinking about it, it's starting to really clearly make all the sense in the world, simply because that business is what affords you to be able to, if you need to be taken care of by a nurse or a doctor, it's your business that's going to allow you the means in which to do that, you know. And there's a balance in everything, I know, but now that I'm thinking about it more, I'm making a whole lot of sense out of it. So, you know, but other than that, that was the one profound thing, the thought-provoking moment I've had this week, was to hear that, and that triggered a lot of, you know, me thinking about it. And as always, just meeting more and more entrepreneurs. But I tell you, on the flip side of that, you know, I guess we all get exhausted at some point in time dealing with, you know, entrepreneurship as it pertains to our people. And, you know, with the social media and all that, and I feel you. It's not the weather that's making me feel this way. It's just, I guess it's just that time that I have to take put a little break, pump the brake a little bit on all the social media. And, because, you know, sometimes you really think that the thought becomes, you know, overwhelming to you, that, you know, we're just so far behind as a people, and just the whole weight of that information, the weight of understanding that, can be sometimes overbearing. And you see people just go on about their merry way. Three weeks ago, the whole country was in an uproar about Trump being president. If you check your Facebook feed now, you probably won't see nothing about Trump anymore. So it's overwhelming to see how easily led a lot of the people are, and in the wrong direction, but hard to steer in the right direction. So,
well, I think that's as a whole, because society is driven by social media and what is put out there. They tell you what to be in an uproar about. They tell you what to be complacent about. So we already saw this coming, of course, you know, and you'll still hear people saying, I'm upset Trump is president. You know, people still say that kind of stuff, but it's just like, it's just kind of a knee-jerk reaction to just having something to say. I mean, they really don't even, I hate to say it, know what they're really talking about. I mean, because if they really knew what type of situation we're really in for, no matter who's president, then they would just go ahead and stop talking and take action. That's the way I feel about it. One upside that I am seeing, I'm seeing a lot more people on Facebook talk about being in business, and that is miles from where they used to be. You know, so many people are talking about their job and this and that. I see a lot of people now wanting to try their hand in entrepreneurship. And I think most importantly, like I said before, the media sways a lot of the things. We need to be the swayers of our people. So we need to make sure that we are promoting our show for those that are interested at trying their hand at entrepreneurship, so they'll have a means or a place to go to, you know, if they would like to go that route. So no matter what they're doing, they are always going to do it. We have to be the ones to do what we need to do for our people. So I'm excited about that. You know, it's just every day is exciting in the world of an entrepreneur. You know, if you go to a job, you might see some of the same old, but me, when I'm out and talking to people, I just meet some of the most interesting people. Some of them are doing some things on the side for money and they don't consider themselves entrepreneurs, but I know that they're entrepreneurs, and I just begin talking to them and I invite them to listen to the show, or I engage with them, you know, in you know, many different ways. I think it was last week. Yeah, last week I met a woman. She came down to the flea market, and it's funny. I just started talking to her because she had a Carefree curl, you know, some kind of curl, Jerry curl, Carefree. I don't know which product it was, but I was just amazed. I'm looking at her. I'm like, wow, you know. So I started talking to her about her curl, you know. But come to find out, this woman, she's like 63, running a darn roller skating class in her basement. And she showed me videos of how she is teaching adults and small children as young as 18 months how to roller skate in her basement. And she is an entrepreneur. And I just did not expect that. And I just, I mean, wow, I was overwhelmed. But, you know, just again, being an entrepreneur and controlling your own time, you get to talk to people at your leisure. You get to meet people at your leisure, and you just never know who you will run into. So, I mean, that part is always exciting. Let's get into our show today, Robert, if you don't mind. Again, today is December 8th. That time of the year when people are running out and buying what they're buying, gifts, and doing all this stuff that they do for Christmas. I'm hoping that if you are deciding to shop and celebrate these holidays, that you are choosing to shop with Black businesses. It's not hard to do anymore. So I'm hoping that if you're listening and you choose to celebrate these holidays, you at least shop Black. So with that being said, I want to invite people to come on. Our link for this would be www.uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network, or you could call in at 1-866-510-9025. There is no PIN needed. Again, 866-510-9025. No PIN needed at all. Thanks to Scotty. Once again, he has led us down the path of righteousness of conference calling, because this one is definitely much better. But again, we would do www.uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. I myself am enjoying this. I had to call my computer guy to help me because my sound wasn't working, and I vowed to have this thing going by the time we came back on the radio, and it's been like 3 weeks now, and I still didn't have it, but I'm good now. We got it together. Technology is wonderful. So today, we're going to do something a little different. I had a lady that I wanted to bring on the show, but I didn't have an opportunity to get her on. I don't know if she's too busy or what, but I met her at the Power Networking Conference, and her name is Falashade. Very, very smart woman, and she is into finance. And we had Brother Sharif on a couple weeks back talking about taxes, and we always want to make sure that you, our listeners, have someone to go to for your financial needs, you know, whether it be taxes or bookkeeping or that type of thing. So we want to always have those type of people on so you can call and get some advice or go ahead and subscribe to their service or what have you. So again, Falashade, I wasn't able to get her on the show. Maybe later, I'm not sure, but you know, it's been a while now. We're going to go ahead and play that interview that we had with Falashade at the Power Networking Conference 2016. And then later on, we're going to have Mr. Andre Hatchett. He's a nationally acclaimed entrepreneur and philanthropist. He's the owner of Priority Notary. Inc., and Manhattan Apostle Services, Inc., and New Jersey Apostle Services, Inc. Mr. Hatchett has successfully operated profitable notary businesses over the past 10 years, despite downturns in the economy during the financial crisis from 2007 to 2010. And if you ask me, it's still going on. He has taken his knowledge and expertise of the industry to create a course to teach others how to live life on their terms. Let's see. Hold on, I lost my place. On their terms, as a public mobile notary. And then, you know, we're going to have him on and talk to him about his platform. He's also connected with Dr. Boyce Watkins, Your Black World. And we're just going to talk to him and find out what it is that he has going on. I'm finding a need to really, really, really look for those businesses that don't cause people so much stress. And it sounds like notary is one of those things that doesn't, but of course he's going to come on and talk to us about that. So without any further ado, Robert, do you have anything to say before we get started with Palasha Day's interview?
Not exactly. Just in here counting some money, but other than that, no, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Well, count your money. Okay, so Scotty, we're going to go ahead with that interview with Palasha Day from Power Networking 2016.
Hello, everybody. This is CC with BIB Radio, sponsored by the Black Talk Radio Network. I am here at the Power Networking Conference 2016, and I am joined by Palasha Day Ayabusi, and
Hi.
She is the... What is your... You're the entrepreneur accountant. Yes, absolutely. I was talking to this young lady yesterday, and I was so impressed, and I thought that you, as our audience, definitely needed to speak with her. So we're going to get all of her information and find out exactly what it is that she does and how she can implement all of her services into your business. So how are you doing, Palasha Day?
Amazing.
Wonderful.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yes. So how are you enjoying the conference so far?
You know what? So far, so good. Day one, I didn't know what to expect, was amazing. I think day two is just going to be greater than what it was yesterday. So I'm amped up to see some amazing people here.
You're ready to rock and roll.
Yes.
Okay. So what is it that you do? What services do you provide?
Okay. Well, I'm the entrepreneur accountant. I actually am the type of accountant that analyze your business and connect the dots from your external brand, which is the front end of your business, to the back end of your business, which is your overall financial statements, your overall finances. See, people don't understand that there is a form of communication that is translated from the front end of your business to the back end, but it's translated through financial statements. Mm-hmm. So what I actually do, I take your external brand, your sales, your marketing, your brand value, your positioning, mm-hmm. and I connect the dots between your service revenue, your product revenue, and your assets. And I really take that and translate it into translatable steps so you can now take your business to the next level.
Wow, that sounds so detailed. So although you do all those things, what do you do for the person just starting up? If I am just thinking of starting a business and I came in for consultation with you, how would you let me know that I need your services?
Well, the first thing was I need to first see what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see where you see yourself in 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is because it's my job to connect your future goals to mm-hmm. where you are right now. So if you were to come to me and say, Palasha Day, I really want to start a business. What do I do? The first thing I'll say, well, what are your goals? What do you want to do? What's your, what are you passionate about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't just sit there and say, oh, what do you, you know, the simple basics of, I have to connect your passion, because if you're not passionate about it, it's no strategy that I can give you that you would implement effectively if you're not passionate about what you do.
Absolutely.
So I take that passion and then I start to brief you. Okay, so how much money do you see yourself making within the next 5 years? Mm-hmm. What are your goals? What type of people do you want to touch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then, once they say that, the reason why I ask them the amount of money that they want to make, because we now need to set up an entity structure
mm-hmm.
that meets that need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I see this often, where they have it set up as a sole proprietorship,
mm-hmm.
and they never convert it over until 3 or 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Because they were making so much money, they've paid so much money in taxes.
Mm.
So it's my job to advise them on how to have the right entity that will benefit them now, but also, how would I say, meet meet their needs for the future.
Oh, that's important, because a lot of us in business, entrepreneurship, we don't really plan for the future like we should, you know, because if you're in a regular corporate job, you have several things set up, such as 401k and all these other entities. But as an entrepreneur, a lot of times you're just trying to live day by day. So it's important that we have these different structures in place. Now, do you do any joint venturing with any other people to make sure needs are met, or are you just kind of a one-woman show? How does it work?
No, I do a lot of joint ventures. My issue is this, is that most people are a bit intimidated to do joint ventures with me, but I'm extremely open because I can only service one aspect of a business. I cannot service your external brand, so I would definitely have to partner with someone that is a brand strategist, someone that knows how to take a brand to the next level, because without a solid brand, I don't care what information I give you, what tools, your brand will not bring the revenue that you dream if you do not have a strong brand.
So. Absolutely. And myself, as Miss Cece, the real infopreneur, I would love to connect you with a woman down the road down here. We'll just say down the road. She is a brand specialist. She's excellent. I'm actually going to go interview her in a little while, and I have to have you guys meet.
Okay.
Yeah. So people are intimidated to JV with you. That's unfortunate, because as we build, or we are building, we need to do that. We need to exercise proper implementation of people with expertise, such as yourself. You definitely know what you're talking about, right. And I'm excited about that.
See, my thing is that they have to think about something. That's considered leveraging.
Yes.
Without leveraging, we're only limiting ourselves. Mm-hmm. So on your platform, for example, this, I'm leveraging myself by having this interview with you.
Absolutely.
And you're also leveraging yourself with my tribe, mm-hmm, as well, because once you send me the video, I'm going to post it on my site and everything else. So we're actually leveraging our platform.
Absolutely.
Right now, and
absolutely,
it's amazing. But the reason why I said most people are intimidated by it is because I know so much.
Right.
And if you don't pull your weight, mm-hmm, I'm going to say something. You
absolutely
understand?
Absolutely.
So with that being said, let's say, for example, if I tell my client, oh, I need you to change this because it doesn't look right, and mm-hmm, then you contact your brand strategist or whoever helped you with your design and mm-hmm stuff, and it doesn't, and they are, they do not agree with what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. What they may do is say, oh, well, she don't know what she's talking about. She's an accountant. But they have to understand, as an accountant, I see every type of business. I see every type of industry. I see the back end that you all will never see.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I see what initiatives are successful. I see what initiatives aren't successful. Mm-hmm. So that's what gives me the weight in comparison to other accountants, because I'm an entrepreneur and I look at the numbers like an entrepreneur, mm, and look at your brand like an entrepreneur. So I would love to do some JVs with fellow accountants as well.
Absolutely.
I had met an accountant at the International Hair Show, and she was just going on and on about what she doing this, but never came back to how we can work together.
Right. She was more into promoting herself instead,
right,
of saying,
and
you
basically
know.
Basically downplaying what we do, because see what individuals, because we do a lot of bookkeeping, but I, Felicia, they do not do bookkeeping. We have a full-time bookkeeper that does that.
There you go.
I mean, they were downplaying the fact of bookkeeping. Let me tell you guys, you need bookkeeping. I don't care what accountant tell you, oh, I don't do bookkeeping. That is the most important aspect of your business, because it tells a story,
right,
that you would never know through your taxes.
Right. Absolutely. Wow, you guys, I'm blown away right now. You know, this is like, you know, the meat and potatoes, groundwork of business, like the ABCs. And a lot of us skip the ABCs and we try to get right over to algebra. But she's telling you the groundwork that needs to be laid for you to start your business. If you are already in business and you don't have her in your life, I would suggest that you get her in your life. I know I will. How do they get a hold of you?
Okay, well, if you want to reach out to me, I'm actually on everything social media. You can go to Felicia Day, the accountant. It's spelled F as in Frank, OLASADE, the accountant. Okay, you can also check out our multiple sites. We have accountingwithfelicia.com, and my brick and mortar is suncrestfinancials.com. Oh, and yeah, if you want to call the office, Brianna, pick up. Call the office at 240-582-7109.
Wow, everyone. I am so impressed by Felasha Day. I'm definitely going to make sure that I connect her as the infopreneur with other entrepreneurs around here so there could be some serious JVing going on. But she gave you her information, so I would hope that you all contact her and have a consultation with her so she can talk to you about your business, okay? So this has been Cece with BIB Radio, sponsored by Black Talk Radio Network, here at the Power Networking Conference 2016. Hope you all are here with us next year. Join us again later on. Thank you, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was my interview with Felasha Day Iyabusi. She, as you heard, really knows her stuff about her area. She is the accountant to the entrepreneurs. It says, I help busy entrepreneurs grow and manage their business finances and obtain sustainable growth through accounting. This is on her website, and it's a very, very interactive, user-friendly website, and just kind of talks about what it is that her corporation does. It says QuickBooks and tax incentives. These incentives gives you a hands-on review of your financials. Whether your frustration is QuickBooks or taxes, you will walk away with either up-to-date bookkeeping or an extensive tax review that could save hundreds or even thousands on your taxes. And again, people, we interviewed Brother Sharif a couple weeks ago, and he was talking to us about taxes. You know, the year is ending, so you better pull out your little shoebox and your faded receipts and get them all together so that you can be ready, because January through April, I think it's 15th or 16th, you know, we need to have those things together so you can file on time and not have to do the whole extension situation. Why not start fresh and get everything together now by contacting people who are experts in the area that you need them to be in? So she has no more confusion understanding your PayPal chargebacks and balancing your books. You're so busy, and the last thing you should worry about is managing your company financials. The chief financial officer or the CFO, and especially the bookkeeper jobs, are two from today you can do without. I don't know what that meant, but okay. So cash flow management mastermind. As entrepreneurs, our journey is tough enough. The journey is even tougher if we take this journey by yourself. Join like-minded members in Felasha Day's mastermind and membership. You know, and then there's several testimonials. We won't get into those. You could definitely go to her website and see what we're talking about, and just type in accountingwithfelashaday.com, and you can go right to her website and contact her there. I plan on reaching out to her again. I don't know exactly what happened with our connection, but I'm going to reach out to her again and see if we could maybe get her on at the top of the year or somewhere in the near future.
Sister Cece, this is Scotty, your engineer here, and I just wanted to compliment you on the professionalism of that interview. And I heard her mention that it was a video, so this was a video interview, and you sent me the audio to it. But I have to say, man, that was a power-packed interview. I mean, you asked all the right questions, got the key information out. You let her get her information out. Because sometimes when we do interviews, the interviewer does more talking than the one who's being interviewed. But you had that perfect balance. And I'm just sitting here envisioning a YouTube web series, a video of you at different conferences or just these type of interviews on camera. It was just that good. Thank you.
Thank you, Scotty. Well, the thing is, we were having some technical issues within that building because it was at, oh my goodness, I can't think of the name of the very expensive hotel that we had to go to, but they were having some technical issues with their social media stuff. So I made sure that I did the audio as well as the video. So there is video. I don't know exactly what I did. I'm sure I have it saved somewhere, maybe on a Periscope, but I was looking to pair the two together. But I did have the audio on tap, which was perfect for the listeners today. So that was great. And thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it. That is my stuff, interviewing people and talking. So it did go well. I appreciate her too. Having a great guest does help. I mean, she really knew her stuff and she's very professional. I really enjoyed her and her assistant. And it's funny because I was talking about me, Miss Cece, the real infopreneur, and how I needed to introduce her to the woman down the road. Well, the woman down the road, actually, her name is Miss Tiana Von Johnson, and she's a wonderful brand expert. I went and saw her, but it's just so funny that Tiana Von Johnson is Falashade's mentor, so they already knew each other, so I wasn't teaching her anything about anybody, but it was funny anyway. But why don't we go ahead and go to a commercial break now, because it's 5:29, or not 5:29, that's Seattle time. It's 7:29, our time, St. Louis time. So let's just go ahead and take a break. You all are listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, everybody. You are back with us. This is BIB Radio. We are on the Black Talk Radio Network like we are every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are happy to discuss all of your entrepreneurial endeavors that you have in store. So join us here every week. You can go to www.uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network, or you can just call 1-866-510-9025. There is no PIN needed for that. We are happy to have you join us every week. And you can also go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com and listen to the older podcasts of all of the shows that are there. But if you'd like to listen to ours most specifically, just go to BIB Radio at your leisure and listen. Help us get our numbers up on the whole network. Invite your friends and, hey, call in. So, Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what did you think about I'm trying to read this, Scotty.
I'm sorry. I had to learn to do it myself, but just to remind the people, when they call in, they can hit ** on the old network. It was *6. On this one, it's ** to unmute themselves, and we'll see them light up on the board and go to them. Okay, looks like we are having some issues with the board.
Joining conference now.
Or something like that. Now, I personally have not been to the conference. I'd say every year I want to go. But it would definitely be something that I would be interested in. Matter of fact, we probably need to just kind of look up all of the Black conferences for 2017 and go ahead and post them and make sure that we are letting our listeners know when these conferences are, because what if there's one near you? You know, if flight is an issue, what if there's one near you and you can simply just drive there? And what if you do have the means to fly or whatever, you know? You definitely want to put yourself in the environment of like-minded people. Now, I have my issues with certain things, but I won't let that come to the forefront of networking with great people, because there are some great people amongst us. There always has been, and there always will be. But when you go to these conferences, you meet some of the most, just the smartest people ever. And it's so funny because a lot of people I met on Facebook and then they were at the conference and it was like a family reunion, Brother Marcus. I don't even know Marcus's last name right now, but Brother Marcus and Brother Dennis Winkler. I've known Dennis Winkler from the first conference, but Brother Marcus works with him in real estate, and I met him for the first time at the conference. And then you see people that you saw at the conference before, and it's a whole nother reunion, and it's very exciting. And it's really bittersweet to me because, again, these are like-minded people that we all have the same goal. We're looking to educate ourselves in entrepreneurship, you know, but you must exercise restraint because you want to go and spend all your money on these products and services that people offer. But you must exercise restraint, you know, because I'll even tell you for myself, like I spent $900 on a product / service. And I actually did not receive the product or service. Now, I was able to get my money back because I had my bank get my money back. But, you know, I'm just saying you have to be very mindful of what the heck is going on in the environment. I mean, it's very euphoric to be in this place where you're hearing all of your questions answered and you just want to be a part of it. It's just wonderful. But that only happened to me one time, but you just have to be mindful of your money and all that. Let's see what else happened while I was there, you know, and everybody deserves a little vacation. So, you know, me to go to the Power Networking Conference, you know, staying at that extremely expensive hotel, you know, it seems like it would be unattainable, but it's really not. You know, one, you start saving. You know, if you want to go, you just start saving. Another thing you can do is you can actually, bunk with somebody else. You know, they usually have those rooms and they can have double beds or full size, queen size, whatever. They have two beds in the room and you can share with somebody. That's actually what I did this year. And I was kind of kicking myself because I really didn't want to do that because I really like my me time. But it worked out well because I ended up only paying like $250 and she paid the other $250. We stayed in total, I think, 4 days. She stayed 2 days. I stayed 2 days. I didn't stay the whole time because I had to get back here. Why did I have to get back here? Oh, for the graduation. I had to get back here, so I didn't stay the whole time. But I still enjoyed myself. And, you know, again, what we'll do is periodically be posting, you know, these Black conferences that come up. And I think somebody even has some kind of website doing that. And if not, I'm sure somebody like Scotty could put it together or blog. I don't know. But, yes, we definitely want to keep our listeners informed about the different Black conferences coming up so that you can all exercise your entrepreneurial muscle. Get in there with some people that are doing things that you're doing some things with people that, you know, you could never even imagine doing them with. I know another conference coming up is going to be the Dudley Conference. You know, I went to that too. I haven't gotten any recent information on that, but the last I heard, the Dudley Corporation was looking to just really be in a bunch of cities doing these different conferences, which I mean is really, really good. Let's see, where are they? They're in North Carolina, and I think they were looking to come to Chicago next? I'm not really sure, but I have to get that updated information too. I don't remember. But yeah, I mean, just thinking about it now, I'm like, man, why can't one of these conferences be going on now? Because I really, really am in need to be with like-minded people, you know, because it just really feeds you to be around people who are doing the same thing that you're doing, you know, striving toward, you know, some kind of goals in business. But
conferences, as well as, and that's something that you just mentioned that we really should get right on that, the conferences as well as the trade shows, these are the things that that Black people really need to be aware of, because these are the tools that you need to stay in business. You know, you need to as well be around like-minded people, and then the flip side of being around the like-minded people, get the correct information, proper connections. In terms of if you're dealing with products, you definitely need to know the manufacturers of these products or clothing items or whatever. So definitely that's a good idea, CC, to post or create a website where we have these functions on our website and put that out there for the people to be able to access.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it right now, and absolutely there are a couple of sites that do specify like month by month, like what's going on, because apparently, you know, like Power Networking, they have changed their months. Like first it was in May, now I think it's going to be in July or something like that, or vice versa, I can't really remember. But yeah, they have, you know, these different sites. Like this one is top Black business events, conferences, workshops, and seminars. I just posted it on our BIB radio page, so if you all want to look at that, of course you can.
You have now tell me something. When you looked at that site, did you see anything referencing trade shows or anything like that, or just mainly just seminars?
Well, it says top Black business events, conferences, and workshops and seminars. So we would have to do some digging to see if it says trade shows. But you know, because you're teaching us this, that many Black people do not even engage in trade shows. So that would be something that would really have to be exposed, you know, to us as Black people.
I got an interesting phone call about a week, 2 weeks back, from a radio show on Blog Talk, on the Blog Talk Network. His show is in the early morning. I don't know the name of the show, but it's he's had some pretty heavy guests on there or whatever, and they were asking me about the True Laundry Detergent. He's an investor in the company, and you know, True is owned by, you know, Black people. However, so, and I told him, you know, why I hadn't invested into the product, and so we went and got to his conversation about trade shows and business, you know, since he invested into the company, and I asked him, I said, well, have you ever been to a trade show? Because we were talking about the quantity purchase that was needed to actually get an account started with True. When I first talked to him, I didn't like the quantity purchase amount. And, you know, so it wasn't, for me, friendly enough for me to even get started with the company. And I said, you know, if you go to these trade shows, you would understand why you have to be more small business friendly. And I asked him, I said, well, do you know, have you ever been to a trade show? And he said, yeah. And as he was explaining, I knew his answer wasn't a trade show. What he was saying to me, that wasn't a trade show. I said, no, that's not a trade show.
Look, right here. So I'm digging. There's an Indiegogo blog, and it says 11 must attend conferences for entrepreneurs 2016 through 2017. And here they are talking about the CES trade show. It says Las Vegas, January 5th through 8th, 2017. The International CES is hands down one of the largest conferences for consumer tech. Each year, hundreds of thousands of people gather and explore almost 2.5 million square feet of exhibit space. CES brings a diverse crowd of entrepreneurs, tech leaders, innovators, and spectators from all around the world. Attendees can enjoy keynotes, industry leaders, experience the vast showroom, and engage with other like-minded guests. And that's what we're talking about, like-minded. Yes, so right there is what you're talking about. And, you know, that is important. We must continue to talk about people going to the trade shows. We must continue to make that happen for them, you know. If they need virtual assistant services, we can offer that to them. Because, you know, you, Robert, you give tips like make sure you wear good shoes, you know. I might try to go to a trade show and not know what I'm supposed to bring. I might think I'm supposed to be like a Barbie doll all glammed up with my heels and long weave and all this other stuff. But from what I understand in talking to you, we should be comfortable. Am I correct?
Very much so.
Chicago
trade show at the Chicago McCormick Center, or convention centers in any of these major cities, you're talking very large buildings. I mean, very, very large establishments. So if you're going to be walking, if you go to Las Vegas especially, you're going to be walking about 8 hours a day. Mm. I mean, and for you ladies, I don't know how y'all can do 8 hours in some heels. So my first one, I went in some really nice dress shoes, and I thought, you know, that would be sufficient. And after I got through with that show, my feet hurt for about a month.
Wait, your feet hurt for a month?
About a month. I said, I'll never do that again.
Do you still have those shoes?
I wish somebody had told me ahead of time, you know, but that was a lesson hard learned, you know, and I was like, wow, it's little bitty stuff like that's really huge. I mean, really, my feet were...
It matters. It all matters, because if your feet are not comfortable, you can't even concentrate. I mean, all you're thinking about is the pain and when you can sit down, when you can take the shoes off, that type of thing. So it is very important, you know. And actually, we need to put something together for that, you know. We'll talk off the air about this situation. It's the same thing I keep telling you. But yes, we need to put something together about that, because... You know, as a person walking into the situation and not knowing about trade shows or what to expect, you know, it would be good to have a guide or some information or a person to call or connect with if I'm trying to go to the trade show. So that's a really good idea. The trade show and the conferences is just a really, really good idea for us to go ahead and make sure we put something together for the people. So we're going to work on that as we speak, people. I am putting it in the BIB Radio Facebook page. If you have not joined us on Facebook, feel free to type in all capital letters, BIB, that stands for Blacks in Business Radio. And you can see what we're doing each week. You can see what shows will be posted, and you know, that kind of thing. You can connect with us. If you would like to actually... talk to us via email, you can definitely do that. You can email us. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com, and we usually get right back to you. If you'd like to call us, you need to email us first. Just go ahead and, you know, email us. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Let us know what it is that you want to talk about. And then you'll either talk to myself or Brother Robert, but we will get you taken care of. I had a lady email us the other day, and I did call her right back, so hopefully she'll be on the show soon. If you would like a commercial on Black Talk Radio Network, we are also available to put that together for you. So again, just email us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. That works really well for people who have a web-based business, or, you know, something like that. But just let us know. We love to help you. If you have some show ideas that you would like for us to discuss, if you have some guests that you would like for us to bring on, again, email us. Weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Just like we're free-flowing, having conversation right now about trade shows and conferences, we would like to do the same with you. Call us at any time. You know, again, the show is every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. But yeah, feel free to get connected with us. And we're happy to talk with you about your business or any ideas that you have. Yep. So we are rounding up here toward the end of the hour again.
Before you go, segue, just to tail off that whole subject of the trade show, I gave a guy a business card this evening. He should be on his way to Chicago now. So if he gets a chance to listen to the show, he said he would try to listen to it. His name is John Lee. We met him at the show in Niles, Illinois. This guy owns a T-shirt company, one of the few businesses that he owns. But for those who are familiar and wear T-shirts, his T-shirt company is called Griffin Tees. And I know a lot of men out there that like T-shirts. If you like a good quality T-shirt, Griffin Tees makes a very good quality T-shirt. Came by today to visit us at our booth at the flea market today. And when I finally got down to see him, he was just elated to see us. And wanted, just happy to talk about some business that he wanted to, you know, do with us. And I was happy that he came all the way to St. Louis and we had a chance to see him on our grounds. So, you know, these relationships that you are able to build with people that you really need to be building relationships with. This, like I say, you meet millionaires all the time at the trade shows, and they make themselves very accessible to you if you just get out of your comfort zone and travel a little bit and attend these events. So, you know, big shout out to my man John Lee from Griffin Tees. Thank you for stopping by and paying us a visit, and safe travels, and see you soon. So I just had to do that, CC.
Okay. Well, definitely need to make sure that we are connected with Mr. Lee. He actually called my phone. He was like, somebody called me from this number. I said, oh yeah, that was for Robert. You already talked to him. He was like, oh, okay. But yeah, it was very good of him to come down here and meet with you. I actually didn't think you were going to make it back in time for the show, but hey, all right. But yeah, that, you know, people have to, you know what I was thinking about, you know, because I feel like I've always been doing this, just always been, you know, kind of working for myself or willing to work for myself with no problem. But, you know, I just want to know how to really help people break through these barriers, because I see people really struggling to come off the plantation. I mean, even though they have the tools right in front of them, like we're providing this great information about connecting with entrepreneurs and trade shows and, you know, conferences and things. But I find that people continue to kind of run back in a little hole versus just kind of taking the bull by the horns and going full throttle. I just really, 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 really know that it takes for some kind of devastation to happen for somebody to just say, oh, this is what I'm going to do. You know, there are some that go and look for another job, but for some, it just really acts as the open door for them to go full throttle and decide, hey, I need to work for myself, you know. But it just disturbs me. I mean, I don't want to let it disturb me outside, but just it kind of disturbs me when, you know, we put somebody in business And then just to see them kind of revert and complain. I mean, they talk to you about their job all the time and they're just still complaining. It really bothers me. What do you think about that?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind when you started, when you opened this, that dialogue up, the first person's name was Harriet Tubman.
No.
Right. I mean, the woman literally had a shotgun for, not just for the damn enemy, because she probably didn't have enough shotguns for the enemy.
Right.
She more than likely had that shotgun for them Negro ass, excuse my language, that slave master lovers. You know, she had to probably, I'm pretty sure she probably had to shoot a few of her own kind. I'm just curious about that because, you know, and then the following thought behind that was they pay so much money for mind control and setting trends for the majority to follow that when you come along with something that goes outside of the norm, it's ignored almost. I mean, totally ignored, you know. And I know that. I say that because, you know, again, going back to sharing this knowledge of how to buy real estate, I mean, literally, I wish somebody would challenge me with some money. Just challenge me with, I'll give you $5,000 if you can execute a real estate deal like you say you can within a 20-day period. I just wish somebody would challenge me enough to do that. But knowing what I know and suggesting that I can help people come from a non-ownership position into an ownership position shows me why, I mean, what you're saying right now is the reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. Well, wait, just before we get into it a little bit deeper, you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network. This is BIB Radio. We are Blacks in Business. We'll be back after these messages, guys. Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio for the masses. Alrighty, everybody. Welcome to BIB Radio again. You are listening to us at the top of the last hour, where we will be joined by our guest, Mr. Andre Hatchett, in about 14 minutes. And he will tell us about his endeavors with the mobile notary service and all of the other wonderful things that he does, including his connection with Dr. Boyce Watkins. Now, Robert, what were you saying? You were talking about Harriet Tubman and just the struggle that people go through in trying to be entrepreneurs.
Yeah, well, we got a little bit past that part, but...
right. But that's what I remember. It's like Harriet Tubman.
Okay, we passed that part.
Sorry, I didn't take notes on the last part, but go ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, like I was saying, you know, in comparison to you saying you were getting, it kind of frustrates you about the people, you know, lack of choosing entrepreneurship over a job, especially in 2016. And I said, well, the first name that came to my mind was Harriet Tubman, you know, and she had to have that shotgun to make them go to freedom. You mm-hmm. see? And then the flip side of that for me is, you know, knowing what I know as it pertains to how to buy real estate, literally how I've executed these types of deals 5 times over. And, and each time I do it, I learn more and more and more about how to perfect what I'm doing. And this last deal was really the crowning moment for me. I said, oh man, I got it now. I really got it. Now I can fine tune it. I can tweak it up and down, you know, or side to side if I want to, now that I really got the basic of it, the foundation, that formula part of it. Now I know how to maneuver in a lot of different ways. I can read the seller real clearly now. I can feel his motivation or lack of motivation as it pertains. I can tell if this seller is a investor or a private owner. And you know, you can ask those questions too, but sometimes you don't even have to ask those questions just by how the seller is talking. So with knowing what I know and knowing that majority of the people that I know are renters, and it just drives me crazy when I hear them say, oh, I'm not ready to own real estate, but yet you're paying more in rent than what you're paying in a mortgage, than what you would be paying for a mortgage, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're really struggling with that rent, and you got all kind of crazy stuff possibly going on around you. In a rental situation, because everybody else probably around you in an apartment complex is definitely renting, and if you know you could be living next door to people that's rent too. So when you say I'm not ready, that clearly tells me that you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You don't even know what's best for you. So if a person don't know what's good for them, what's best for them, then they're not going to, you could talk all day till you blew in the face.
This is what I think. Okay, so you're talking about real estate owning versus renting, but it's kind of the same thing as far as entrepreneurship versus working on a job. It's the same thing. People say that they're not ready, and it's because they're so used to a certain way of life. You know, they've grown up in this way of life, perhaps. And they've seen these things before them, perhaps. So they're just not ready to be walking on the wild side, you know, doing something different, which is a shame, because then if you're not teaching something new to your children, they're going to continue doing the same thing that you did, your grandparents did, your parents did, and everybody else. So I always say, if not for yourself, for your children, you must exercise a different way of life that is going to help them have a better future. And owning is better than renting. I agree. But the thing is, when you have somebody weighing the quote pros and cons, that's when it gets kind of sticky. You know, they might say, well, you know, if you own a house, if something happens to the roof, you have to repair that. You know, I mean, but that's why you get insurance. That's why you do the things that you need to do to prepare for things that happen. I mean, your car could break down tomorrow. What are you going to do? You're going to fix it. I mean, when you're renting, you're just doing that. You're renting. You're putting money in somebody else's pocket. You're sending someone else's children to college. Why not build what you need to build for your family by owning a home? Yes, when we do something different, it is scary, but you have to be ready to do something different. Oh, let me let you do your point, Robert. I see we have our guest on the line, Mr. Andre Hatchett. We will get to you in a moment, sir. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead, Robert.
Now, with those two entities that you just described, owning a business versus working the two aspects of it is less responsibility. The two that are the lesser of responsibilities is renting and working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Those two weigh a whole lot less when it comes in the area of responsibility. And when you own a house, more responsibility. When you own a business, more responsibility. And that's what people in a nutshell are really saying. I don't want that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in both instances, you're worse off financially by not having that responsibility. Because mm-hmm. in both instances, you're taxed more.
Mm-hmm.
You're taxed more. Owning a house, you can write off a lot of stuff when you own the property. Owning a business, you can write off a lot of stuff when you own a business. Working a job, you can't.
Right.
Renting, I mean, there's some things, there's some breaks there, but none like owning a house. Or owning real estate, I should say, because, I mean, I agree with Robert Kiyosaki when he says a house is not an asset. Totally agree with him on that. You know, if it ain't making money, it's not an asset. It's a liability. If it's not bringing it into your economy, it's a liability. Now, if you take a four-family flat and you live in one of those units, then you got an asset. So, I mean, there's ways to make the house do what it can possibly do, create an office in your house, yeah, those type of things. But if an average person is not trying to, you know, open up a home-based business or a business spirit, you're just on a higher end of the tax bracket if you don't take a little more responsibility. And we're not talking about a whole lot more responsibility, but it's just better for you to take the responsibility. It'll pay off in the end, for sure.
Mm. Well, you just gave me a great idea. So when we get done with this, just remind me that I had a great idea. Hopefully I'll remember what that is, but no. Just remind me, I had a great idea, because I believe that you have the ability to build what you are doing, as I told you, or as I always tell you, but I just had a great idea. So we have to put that together. But in the meantime, drum roll, let's go ahead and invite our first Uber conference call guest, at least with me knowing what I'm doing, to the network today. We have Mr. Andre Hatchett out of Westchester, New York. So let's invite him on now. Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Great evening. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Sorry for the holdup. I had class earlier, but thank you for having me. It is an honor. I appreciate it.
Oh, we appreciate you. My name is Cece, and my co-host is Brother Robert. He's there.
Hey, Brother Robert. Hey, Cece. Everything's great, leader. How you feeling?
I'm feeling really good, brother.
Glad to hear that.
Great. Good to have you on.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's an honor. It's an honor to hang out with you guys on this lovely Thursday evening.
Absolutely. Well, we so appreciate you again for coming on, because you do have a platform. We would like for our listeners to become engaged and familiar with what it is that you do. So why don't you go ahead and explain to our listeners who you are and what it is that you do?
Okay. Who am I? Great question. You know, I think that changes sometimes, but in general, I am a proud Black man of Jamaican heritage. I was born in New York, but my parents are from Jamaica, so I'm West Indian background. I am what one might call an entrepreneur. You know how it's like a guy is an alpha male is like a guy's guy. So I'm like an entrepreneur. Like, I'm hardcore believing it. I hardcore believe, and especially Black males need to do it at least on a part-time basis. Like, bare minimum, at least on a part-time basis. I do a lot of mentoring. I run a platform with our man, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Black Men United. It's relatively new, which we're trying to bring Black men together from all across the world to unite and take things over. Another one called BlackMenDoingIt.com. That's a video series platform where we just show positive examples of great Black men, like Brother Robert right here. I started online teaching platforms about a year and change ago, so I own the Black Real Estate School that is a joint venture with our man, Dr. Boyce Watkins. So we have real estate investing courses, flipping, real estate agent courses, how to be a top-notch agent, and the NotaryBusinessSchool.com, where we show people how to start a business as a mobile notary for under $500 or less. And we have advanced courses, master courses, which show you how to be less self-employed and more of a business owner and have other people working for you. And buyblacknyc.com, that is a business directory in New York City where we show you how to, where to find Black-owned businesses. I think that's it. Hello?
Hello?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Thought we lost you for a second.
Yep. Okay, cool. Did you hear my rundown of stuff?
Yes, absolutely. We did hear your rundown. Yes. Oh. So, I believe I approached you because I saw you doing some video with Dr. Boyce talking about the real estate school. Now, that is Brother Robert's area of expertise. He loves real estate and most importantly, commercial real estate. And he can tell you that. I don't even know why I'm talking for him. He's on the line. But I mean, you guys could probably talk about real estate. Now, what is your favorite area of real estate, Andre?
Favorite area of real estate is something that I don't have yet. Our multifamily homes. I own some apartments and townhomes, but this year I'm going to be into the rehabbing of multifamily homes in distressed neighborhoods. I think it's borderline insanity if people don't at least attempt to purchase a multifamily home as their first property. The more units, the better. 2 to 4 typically work well. It's just, you can literally just set up your family to at least be okay financially with 1 or 2 multifamily properties. It's the best invention. It's one of the best sustainable inventions out there. I know people who literally don't pay anything and they have a 3-family home. So all they paid was the closing cost of the mortgage, and they haven't paid a mortgage payment out of their own pocket since they own the property. So that is something that is my favorite and something that I'm going to be diving into probably springtime of this year.
Okay, so you're looking to purchase a multifamily, or do you mean like a 4 units or 18? What are you thinking?
Probably between 4 and 6.
Between 4 and 6. Okay, well, that makes sense. Now, this is a building you're going to have to rehab?
Yeah. So there's a couple of areas that I'm looking into, and there's a ton of city-owned properties there. So that's something that I'm going to look to acquire as many as I can with as many people as I can. And it will be like a longer term project, but we're trying to get in there while they're still dirt cheap, while the areas aren't nice per se, and do some rehabbing. And we're going to also attempt to try to get some low interest loans or some grants from the city as well.
Oh, okay. So you're doing some group economics with some people. Now, is this people within your Black men's group that you were speaking of, or family members? Who are these people that you're grouping with?
I always do group economics. Most of the stuff I do is with somebody else. I typically work with one person on a project at a time. So I work better in small groups. So I work with 1 or 2 people usually on a project. So I have other stuff which I didn't mention, which you can find out on my site, AndreCHatchett.com, AndreCHatchett.com. But I love group economics and I love joint ventures. So I'm forming a group now, not family members, unfortunately. You know, sometimes family members have other agendas, even though they're very lovely people, but not everyone's on the same page. So, which is actually a very good point. I don't believe in twisting people's arms with positivity. I believe in, if it's positive, put the word out there, and you have to keep it moving quickly, because if you wait on so-so people, it can help dry up your it will dull your light. So you have to know when to keep it moving through. So it's actually some strangers, a few strangers and a couple of friends who I've met within the past 2 years, and some people who I haven't even met in person yet, but they've seen what I was doing, and they actually what I'm thinking about doing in the future. And I said, well, this is on the table, and I'll give you guys some notes and some details. And I said, sure, let they want to be down. So
okay, that's true. You know, sometimes you can get a lot more done with a stranger than with a family member. We know that, unfortunately. Now, you know, because some of us are still trying to put together such a venture, you know, maybe you could give us some guidance, you know, because our listeners, you know, are on Facebook, and they're like everywhere. And everybody's looking to do something together in a community type of way. But it's like everybody has a problem starting. A lot of people are talking, but there are people having a problem starting. And I like to say, just like what you said, starting in small groups is not such a bad thing. But even in small groups, you may find people that you want to do some things with, but you'll have little things that still kind of get in the way. Like, what are we going to call this project? Or whose name is going to be on this? I mean, just really little petty things. Now, my thought is, can you really move past the petty things? Or when you see the person is a petty type of person, do you say, okay, no, I know I can't deal with them, because when we move on to the larger issues, this person is not going to be able to handle it? How do you vet that situation out?
Yeah, if someone's a petty human being by nature, me and them aren't going to get along in life. So I'm not going to even be their friend or associate or anything, because we I'm results driven, and they're argument driven, and they're minuscule differences driven. Like, that's something I have no tolerance for or no patience for. So if that's who they are by nature, we are going to get along. So I would opt not to work with them. I like to work with people who are results driven. So the lady that I'm working with now, I can tell that she had an issue with past people who she worked with before, just because of the things that she said. I don't do those kind of things, right? Like, you know, here's all the numbers, here's everything, you have full access. I know, but you know, people. And I was like, no, I heard you saying, but no, that's just, you know, not me. So that could have went somewhere left, but I just reinstated, you know, who I was, and I just said, look, here's full disclosure. And I like to work with people who are on the same page. If they see something wrong or have a question, they ask it. I don't want to work with people who are passive aggressive and who throw subliminals out there. Like, that's not cool. So, you know, if you operate in full disclosure, and you keep it in full disclosure, it can help eliminate probably 90% of the arguments. And something else to do, if you talk to people with respect, it can go a long way. How you say things is huge. Just talk to people like they're adults. Talk to people like they're adults, and it can really squash a lot of things. So for me personally, I like 1 to 2 people on a project. For this real estate stuff, it might be a few more people. We'll give it a shot. But just start, and don't overthink. Oftentimes, we overthink the process, and we don't take action. It's called analysis paralysis, and it just stinks. It will stunt your growth. Start small. I mean, like, I would love a big 1,000-unit building and go in with 200 people, but, like, I'm not there yet. So, like, a 4-unit building, you know what? It's still a 4-unit building. Mm-hmm. It's still a win. And even if it's a 2-unit building, it's still a win. It's still advancement. So aim long-term, avoid the small stuff, hash out your pet peeves early on, too. So, like, if you know your pet peeve is being late, tell people, hey, look, I'm on time, I'm punctual, I appreciate it. You guys do the same thing? All right, cool. Throw that out there early and take it from there, and ask people, are you results-driven?
Is that your main thing? And if it's not their main thing, then, you know, I probably won't mess with them very well.
Well, I think that, you know, those are some very helpful tips, because as we look to do group economics in these times, we need as much help as possible. Robert, do you have anything to add or any questions about the real estate?
Well, I always say, when you say group economics, I prefer to have less people myself than the letters in the word group involved in anything that I do.
That's a great way to put it.
You know, because, again, you know, there's so many small, petty things. And for me personally, this is my 22nd year of business, not being on a job. So I've been doing this 22 years.
Congratulations. That's Thank great. You.
And I, if you ask me how I done it, I would tell you a lot of faith. That's what I would tell you. A lot of faith, and I would tell you I have a great mentor, very sharp and very well learned mentor, straight from St. Louis, and very disciplined. Somebody that just kept me together when I almost could have just lost my mind. I had somebody that was, no, brother, see yourself for who you are type of mentor. But I want to say this about dealing with the people in reference to, let me ask you your input on this. Now, how do you partner up with a person? Let's just say hypothetically, what's the balance when you come to the table? Say, for instance, I'm gonna use myself in a case scenario. If I'm open to do business with a person, now I have the biggest part. I believe I have the biggest part of the business deal done. I own the commercial property. Now, you coming in doing business with me, I have the property, and I agreed to. Before, it's not even, I didn't even have to discuss it with you. I know to make us win, the rent I'm going to charge you is going to be very, very obtainable for the business. Now, what do you think you bring to the table, or what should you be bringing to the table, knowing that I'm already, I got at least more than half of the job done? We don't have to worry about qualifying for the lease or whatever. They don't have to check our credit score. I got that covered. You know, I own the building. You don't have to worry about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months of lease up front. I'm gonna make sure we win on that. So now you coming into this whole business idea, what should you be coming with?
It depends on the type of business. So is it a storefront that we're renting?
Let's use hypothetically a storefront. Yeah, let's say we're going to open up a storefront. Whatever.
Subway or something.
Anything. It can be a sandwich shop. But now there is some cosmetic stuff that needs to happen. Now, my point is, if I'm discounting, if I'm making sure we don't have to pay all those enormous fees or whatever, and we need to get the building painted, we may need to put down flooring or whatever, would you say it's fair for you to come into that deal? I say, well, look, man, why don't you take care of the painting and the flooring, and we work together to make sure that the flooring is done on a wholesale level. I'll commit with you to make sure that the money that's spent is spent on a wholesale level rather than being charged retail. Now, would you have a problem with entering into a business deal like that?
Off the top of my head, no. I would have to see how much percentage of equity I'm giving up because I'm getting the reduction in rent. So if it makes sense, it makes sense. it's something that I would look into further. But I do think some consideration should be given, one, because of the cheaper rent, two, because we know the rent will stay at a certain level. Because, like, it's not just when you move into a space. Overtime businesses close because they're there for they have a 4-year lease, but in the fifth year it quadruples.
Right.
So, it definitely takes some. I would take all that into consideration, and I'd be more than happy to give a certain percentage higher equity up for that because I'm getting that kind of offer.
Right, and see, I know by dealing with commercial real estate, I just mentioned that one of the guys that's from Chicago just came here and visited me. He owns this big T-shirt company. But he was sharing with me while he was here, asked me was I interested in a store that just went out of business. They had 10,000 square feet. And he said that, I asked him, what happened to the business? He said that, well, when they went into the lease agreement, it went from, how do you say, 2,500 to 5,000 to $10,000, just like you just said. And he said, and I said, damn. I said, well, they're running the business to pay the lease. And he laughed and said, yeah. So they decided to shut the business down. So now a lot of the times I find, because I'm in that position, a lot of the times I'm always trying to give help. A lot of the times the people that I'm trying to help have zero knowledge of commercial leases.
Yeah.
Zero knowledge. And they think these type of lease are the same as residential type of situations, and it's totally different.
Yeah. It can change very quickly and not in favor of the tenant. I've seen a lot of good businesses, great businesses go out of business because the landlord saw them doing good business and they jacked it up and there they went. So no, having a favorable lease on a commercial space, that's like gold. So I would be more than happy to give a high percentage of equity up for that kind of agreement.
Okay, so let's see. Before we keep going with this conversation, gentlemen, let's take a short break. You're listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We are discussing real estate with Andre Hatchett. We'll be back with you in just a second.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, everybody, I guess we're back. That was a short break. We have Andre Hatchett and Brother Robert. They were talking about real estate before we had to go to a commercial break. I think, Andre, you were maybe about to respond to what Robert was saying.
Yeah. Robert was saying about having access on a commercial lease, where you don't have to have a year up front. Sometimes they want a year up front in terms of payments or half a year up front, and they want to see like a year's worth of reserves in the bank. And Robert was saying that like if you could bypass all that and work something out with the decorating of the business, that is it worth giving up a percentage of equity or so in the business? And I said, in most cases, yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer. That's a pretty good deal right there.
Well, it seems as though it's a no-brainer. I mean, I would jump at it. You know, personally, I've rented once one time at a commercial space, and I learned that you could be there and gone real quick in a commercial business, in a commercial space. The laws are different for commercial business. It's not the same as renting a house.
Not at all.
It's totally a different ball game. And but the thing that I've been finding out that dealing with are people black people in terms of wanting to be entrepreneurs is that they, most of us just don't want to educate ourselves on these things that that are most important. You know, this is why I strongly suggest to people to buy the real estate, own the real estate.
Okay, let me squeeze in real quick. So there was some information here from 619. I'm like still navigating to learning the system. So Scotty, I don't know if he wanted to ask his question, but there's a question here. Definitely, he provided some links. He's talking about crowdfunding. Scotty, did you want to talk about that?
Yes. Greetings to the guests, Mr. Hatchett. But going back to earlier, y'all were talking about in terms of collaborating with other people and the challenges that can present in investing in a business or whether it's to buy a property or whatever. But you may have considered this, but also with these new SEC rules of crowdfunding, whereas before, you know, people were just pretty much donating because they wanted to see a dream come true out of the goodness of their heart, but now they can become investors where you have a whole bunch of people who give $20, how much ever. So the links I provided in our Uber chat is to a press release by the SEC telling investors what crowdfunding is and how the rules have changed. And let me just share this briefly. Crowdfunding generally refers to a financing method in which money is raised through soliciting relatively small individual investments or contributions from a large number of people. Over the last few years, crowdfunding websites in the United States have proven a popular way by which to solicit charitable donations and raise funds for artistic endeavors like films and music recordings. And this is from the U.S. government SEC, Security and Exchange Commission. Under recently adopted rules, the general public will have the opportunity to participate in the early capital raising activities of startup and early stage companies and businesses. Starting May the 16th, 2016, companies can use crowdfunding to offer and sell securities to the investing public. And again, like mostly everybody who knows anything about crowdfunding, it's all done online. So I have interviewed people myself in the past and come across information and said, see, this is a way. When we're dealing with racism as black people in the economic system of bypassing the banks. And so I'm just wondering, you know, if people, if you yourself are considering this. And so, you know, you just have to put together a marketing presentation. Now, the other part of my question was, as I was listening to you all talking, I actually was going to ask Robert about this, but here I live in the state of North Carolina, so I pay attention to a lot of the local news. And apparently North Carolina has tens of thousands of properties that they own that are empty. Nobody's using them. Some of them are dilapidated, as you can imagine, if they've been empty 10 or more years. And the governor, the outgoing governor, Pat McCrory, was trying to sell them off to private, you know, parties and whatnot. But something happened to stop that sale. But see, I was thinking again, see, this is the type of stuff that black people don't take advantage of, or the wider public don't get to take advantage of, because they don't know about these sort of things. So it's probably going on in other states too. And it just reminded me of a conversation actually a question I had asked to Robert about these empty schools. Can they be converted into business space since he's buying, you know, into buying property? But so both my questions are kind of connected, because if you know of a state or you put together some kind of real estate business where you're buying up this government-owned property, I'm sure it's like that in other states too, and using crowdfunding as a way to do it. So if y'all can make out my questions and what I just shared with you, please, I would love to hear your comments.
Wait, before they go forth with that, Scotty, what was the black organization that they created, Brother Marlon, the something grassroots. What was that one?
That was Marlon Adams, culturalgrassroots.com. What he was doing in preparation of this is just trying to collect 50,000 emails of people who wanted to be in a future portal that would facilitate crowdfunding by these new SEC rules in the black businesses. So that was culturalgrassroots.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay. So you all want to go ahead and respond to what Scotty was talking about concerning crowdfunding?
Yeah. I could hop in here. You know, my brother Robert. It makes total sense. So again, if you're results driven, you know, the bottom line is the bottom line. So if the bottom line is to attain ownership of assets, and crowdfunding will help get you there, it makes sense. It just makes sense. So yeah, there are different ways to structure crowdfunding. I would consider myself a crowdfunding expert, but that's something else that I try to do. Is I hang around people who are experts at things that I'm not experts in. So I have a couple of comrades who know it very, very well. And again, like, it could be with five people, it could be with two people, it could be with 10 or it could be with 100. It's just splitting up the equity. It's just raising money from people. Some people are going to be hands-on with the project. Some people are going to be private lenders and backers. And some people will have other tasks. Doing is dividing up the task. Who's going to do what? Here's how much equity you're going to have. And there you go. So that name has become more popular since GoFundMe and Kickstarter. Then the GoGo's come out, but like that terminology, that way of thinking, it's been going on for decades and hundreds of years. That's how most people acquire assets. That's how most people buy these brownstones in Harlem that were $1 million, now they're $2 million. They put their money together in Israel and they bought them. They put their money together, they had two people go over there and find deals, and they bought it. So that's my take, is get it done however you got to get it done.
And that's, right. That's the exact thing I say, if you're dealing with government-owned property, city-owned properties, private-owned properties, bank-owned properties, the thing that I approach is, I suggest is whichever is the avenue that works best for you, whichever avenue gives you least resistance to obtain it, then that's the avenue to go. Some avenues, I totally want to avoid the bank. Totally want to avoid the banks. The bank is a business, no doubt about it. Now, I will go to the bank for the bank-owned properties, not to get financing through the banks, just me personally. The way that I bought property here in the past has shown me that this is the way that I really need to be buying property, dealing directly with the owner, and I'm eliminating the bank fees and I'm eliminating the agent fees, so that works well for me. I know how to do that, and I see the logic in it. There was a book out by Dexter Muhammad. It's called How to Buy Real Estate When You Bankrupt and Broke. For me, that book made all the sense in the world for me to think in that position in acquiring real estate. One would say, well, why would you want to think like a bankrupt and broke man to buy anything? Well, when you don't have much to spend on anything, it makes you become that much more crafty in obtaining the goal.
Yep.
So
the
more money you have, the less creative you are with obtaining it. Now, so most people that buy real estate or buy anything always want to use other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep as much as your money in your pocket, and you mm-hmm. want to pay out less of your money at all times. So I don't want to pay the agent fees personally at this stage of the game. I don't want to pay the bank fees at this stage of the game. Now, I don't know what that's like when you have $1 million or $1 billion in the bank. Maybe my thought would be different. Maybe I would own a real estate company. Pretty much I'm thinking that's what I would do, and then those people would be on my payroll, and then I would deal with agents in that capacity. You see what I'm saying? But for now, I know what I know. If I got some cash and I could go buy this house wholesale, then I'll go buy the house wholesale, as long as I know I got the money to get it together out of pocket or whatever, or the cash flow to get it together. So, like I say, it just whichever method, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, did we get the job done?
Okay, perfect. Now because I don't want to run out of time, because we're already at the 43rd mark of the last hour, I wanted to allow Mr. Hatchett, Andre, to talk to us about the mobile notary business. What is that? Why is it profitable for people? And how can they get started in doing that if they're interested?
Cool. Yeah, so the mobile notary industry, it's a very cool, low startup cost, recession proof business where you don't Hello? Have a ball over your head. So I started my company, Priority Notary Inc., which right now we're a nationwide mobile notary service, 12 years ago, about 12 years ago. And I literally started for roughly about $500. I had some mutual friends. Another point, you are who you hang around with, right? So you are who you date and you are who you hang around with. That's a very important concept that I try to live by. So I had some mutual friends who told me about a guy who I knew, but we weren't that tight. He was like, yeah, Rick, you know, he does this notary thing. He goes to people. He shows up. He makes $75 a pop and up. $75? I was like, that makes sense. He's like, yeah, he's like, he's doing like two or three of them a day. I was like, that makes total sense. Like, okay. So I called Rick. I shadowed him. Like a brother said, you know, have a mentor. I shadowed him. I said, like, oh, wow, this makes total sense. Because at the time, I was looking at about $100 a day at the job that I was at. So I said, this is a win. So the profitable margins come in because you travel to the client. And hence, when you travel to the client, then you charge a travel fee. And there are a lot of people who would rather pay for convenience than to be inconvenienced. So there are target markets, and we do other services as well. We do loan closing, which is actually really popular. Our fingerprinting and general notarization and apostille services as well. So it's been 10 years strong, very few barriers of entry to start up a franchise. I've been valued at $1 million liquid. Wendy's probably close to the same. It's been like a ton of money to start up a lot of businesses, but this one, all you literally need is a few $100 to get the ball rolling. I've had students who took my course at thenotarybusinessschool.com, and they were actually getting called before their license even came back in the mail. Yeah, it's a pretty cool
You know,
thing.
That's true, because you know what? I'm a virtual mm-hmm. assistant, and I was working on a project last year to where somebody needed some real estate documents notarized at 10:30 at night, and I had to find a notary to do so. So I know that that's profitable. Mr. Hatchett, we have a caller that is trying to speak. Last four digits, 4016. You have a question?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Yes, I'm actually, my name is Anthony Burson, and I'm one of the students at Andre's Notary's Business School.
Anthony,
hey, how you doing, man?
Doing good, Kane.
I just wanted to mention a few things. I heard you guys talking a little bit about real estate, and I wanted to ask the brother who mentioned the book. What was that book called again?
It's a hard find. It's called, it's by Dexter Muhammad, D-E-X-T-R M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, and it's called How to Buy Real Estate When You're Bankrupt and Broke.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. And also, I just wanted to say that Brother Andre, he's doing an incredible job with the Notary Business School. I'm actually one of his students. I took a course. It was to show you how to start your business for $500 or less. And I'm actually in the process of building that business at the moment. And I just wanted to just mention that he's an incredible teacher, and he makes it really simple for you to understand. And he has no issues with helping you on anything that you're trying to reach out to him for.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that, Brother Anthony.
No problem. Mm.
All right. Well, thank you for telling us that, because, you know, as our listeners may have not heard of Mr. Hatchett, it's wonderful that one of his students can actually come on and vet it out for us and let us know that, yes, he is a great person to teach you. That's excellent. So my thing is, Andre, you know, I totally am looking out for people who are afraid to start businesses. I'm looking out for people coming out of prison. I'm looking out for people who are perhaps tired of whatever entrepreneurial endeavor that they're in now and they want to switch over, like maybe somebody that's in a franchise and they hate being in franchise, but they know they don't want to go work for somebody. So it seems like notary business may be good for those types of situations, but can you become a notary if you are a felon?
The general answer is no. Uh-huh. You don't have to be a notary to run a notary business. So
okay.
What you could do is take our master's course and take and learn how to set up a signing service where you're the middle person. And,
mm-hmm.
and this is a rule of thumb for mostly any business out there. I think some of this is you can't own it if you are a felon, but the majority you can. If the license isn't obtainable for you, have people who have a license work for you. Be
mm-hmm.
the middle person.
Right.
So that's the great thing about our business is, you know, I have a job coming up in Jersey in a couple of days. I can have someone do it for me. I could do it myself. Either way, I'm going to win. Either way, it's profitable. So if you can't get your license, it doesn't really matter.
Okay, okay. So now, if people want to get started with you and follow you, first of all, how would they contact you?
They could email me at andre@andrecthatchett.com. That would be a cool way to get in contact with me. And they can also check out the notarybusinessschool.com. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you think it stinks, you know, just say it stinks, which we haven't had anyone say that ever. we have a pretty high retention rate. Actually, you know what's pretty cool is probably about 40-50% of students take multiple classes, which is really gratifying, and it shows that something is coming good out of the program. It's really personally rewarding. Sign up for one of the courses there. It works. See, this thing also about starting a business. Oftentimes, people get confused about which business to start, and we're told passion, 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 which is cool, right? It really, really helps. But I'm a believer that you don't have to be passionate about everything you do. I think you can have something that you're passionate about work-wise, but you can have some things that just produce income. It works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And use that money to go do something else that you're passionate about. So this isn't an overly fancy business. It's not overly sexy, but it's very, very profitable, and it's very, very needed.
Mm.
I've always felt like what you just said, brother, that you don't always have to be passionate about everything that you do to generate money.
Not
I'm in the
all.
Sales business. I'm not passionate about sales. What I'm passionate about, I don't even do. But I'm in sales just to make money.
It works.
It works. Exactly.
Do what works and spend the profits on something that you are passionate about, like food.
Right, I get it.
Okay, so now
like
we... We've got that now. Okay, they can contact you that way. Let's see. You have a YouTube channel, I think, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yep. I too. Yep, yep. YouTube. Andre C. Hatchett on YouTube. Instagram, Andre C. Hatchett, and Facebook, Andre C. Hatchett.
Okay, wait, let me take a little, not a commercial, but a little interlude here. Scotty says that he just found how to buy real estate when you're broke. Was that Scotty that said that? Oh my gosh. Yes, Scotty. Forgive me, everybody, I'm still learning. Okay, it says he found how to buy real estate when you're broke and bankrupt by Dexter Muhammad for $1,495. You may have to call them because their order page doesn't work. So it looks like www.ctnnetworks.com/blackbeauty/booklist.htm. And you also might want to call Black Rose Books in Oregon. That is a black owned book company. He may be able to find it for you. But we'll post all this on the page because the time is really crunching down here. Okay, so you have the YouTube, you have the Facebook, you have Twitter. What other social medias do you have, Andre?
I'm on Twitter, but I'm never on there. That's all because I can't keep tagging of anything else, so I try to stick with Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, perfect. So do you have any upcoming seminars? Like, do you do this in person where people can come to your seminars?
Yes, in 2017, we're going to be doing live training in the DMV, all over Dallas, Atlanta, New York, Chicago, in the very, very near future. So stay tuned to what we have going on at the blacknotaryschool.com. Go there and enroll even for free so you can stay up to date with that. And our real estate courses, those are going to be really dynamic too. Me and some top experts around the country, we're going to be doing a really big tour. And also my movie, got a movie coming out. Own or Be Owned, The Value.
Oh, wait, is that what you were excited about yesterday on Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay, is he going to talk about that or not? Is it a secret? Okay.
No, it's out. No. Hoodies for sale. We even taking pre-orders for the movie starting tomorrow. If you go to my website, Andre C. Hatchett, you'll see that place where you can place your order.
Okay, this is what I need you to do, because like now I'm as excited as you are right now. What I need you to do is join us on our Facebook page called BIB Radio, all capital letters, and I need you to put all of your social media information in there, how people can contact you, any YouTube links that you think are relevant to people's knowledge and information concerning what you're talking about, and also the link so that people can buy that movie.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Queen. I greatly appreciate it. And I will do. I'll do it as soon as we get off the phone.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. So, Brother Robert, do you have any more information to share, or what is it that you want to say as we outro this show, December 8th, 2016?
We're going to have you back on the show, brother, to talk about this movie. That's a last-minute surprise. I'm like, what? A movie?
Right.
We don't have any time to even go into that. So congratulations on that movie, man.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
I wish I'd have known in advance I would have auditioned it for the star role of that one.
Oh, Lord.
It's actually a documentary, so we would love to get you in there, brother.
Well, Robert would be a good piece because many people around here locally have done pieces on him. I'm telling you, he's just he's somebody you should know. Now, go ahead.
What state are you guys in?
We're in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, cool! Yeah. But we'll head on down and do a scene.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Let us know. We are also wanting to do a commercial with you, so connect with me afterwards so that we can broadcast that on Black Talk Radio Network so that internet sales can skyrocket for you in the purchase of this movie and anything else. But what we are going to do is thank you right now for being on our show. We so appreciate it. You're a friend of the show. Come back anytime. Let us know if you need anything, and we would be happy to help you. I want to thank... Talasha Day, although she was not here, but you know, I did interview her. Also, thank you, Scotty, for back engineering. Thank you, Robert, for being a host with me on this show as usual every week. Thank you, Andre, for your guest in Alabama. We hope to hear from you all again. We will be back next week at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us here on the Black Talk Radio Network, and we will say goodnight to you all.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye-bye.